The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
God bless you for tuning in. Hello, this is Christina Sasso of Freedom Fellowship Church and Sons of God Ministries International, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. Many wonderful things happening all around us. I don't know about you, but I really feel like days are breezing by, and here we are. More than half of the year 2025 have passed. Year 2025 will continue to break every record in the book, and it is all good for the glory of God and for the benefit of His people. It is good for United States of America if we continue to align ourselves with the plan of God and continue to take heart of God's heart first and foremost, okay? And also, the hand of God will continue to uproot the wicked root that is in Washington, D.C. You have been hearing all these investigations, communications, whistleblowers. These are answers to our prayers. We started praying for this for several years now, praying for our country, for all of our leaders. And when God had me release the prophecy that He's going to uproot the wicked root that is in Washington, D.C., that all the nations of the earth are feeding off it, and some ministries in the body of Christ. Several years ago, we believed and received that prophecy as a group at Freedom Fellowship Church and SAGME. And we share it with you, and we shared it to our affiliations in Asia. And we took action. Now, here it is. It's happening, and no one can stop this. It is God's uprooting wickedness, and justice will be served. And having said this, let us not help God, but continue to focus on what all the opportunities that He is opening for the body of Christ. Okay? So we, the body of Christ, must not give out our opinions. We must consider the heart of God. Let us not engage in hatred. Let us not celebrate when people are being brought to justice, okay? Let us not focus in partisanship. That is the world's ways of doing things, and we are not of this world, okay? And let me remind you, Proverbs 24, verse 17 through 18. I'm going to read from NIV. Do not gloat when your enemy falls. When they stumble, do not let your heart rejoice, or the Lord will see and disapprove and turn His wrath away from them. Okay. Remember, in Ezekiel 33, 11, I believe, "Assuredly as I live, says the Lord, I do not rejoice in the punishment of the wicked." Okay. So consider the heart of God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." Romans chapter 12, verse 17 through 21. "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Okay. Luke chapter 6, verse 35 through 36. "But love your enemies Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Remember in 2 Kings when the Arameans kept on raiding Israel, but Elisha can hear what they're planning and doing, and he kept on warning the king of Israel. So they send an army to capture Elisha. But Elisha prayed for God to blind them, and he led them to Samaria. And then when they were in Samaria, they were already surrounded, and Elisha prayed to open their eyes. The king of Israel was so excited and said, "Shall I kill them, my father, my father?" He addressed the prophet Elisha as father. This is the king. And Elisha said, "No, you're not going to do that, but instead feed them and then send them away." And because of that kindness, the Arameans stopped raiding the nation of Israel. There was no more war. They live in safety because of that good deeds. Okay, they went to kill, to capture and kill Elisha, but Elisha is protected by God. Okay, in Luke chapter 6, verse 35 through 36, "But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great. You will be children of the Most High." I wanted to repeat that again to bring it home. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. "Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech." Don't be negative, okay? As if you don't have God with you, okay? "Whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." So let us continue to focus on what God is doing in our midst. It will be a season of prosperity for the body of Christ. But we have to apply His ways of doing things, okay? So this is last week that I heard the Lord saying, the dark ages of the church or the body of Christ has ended. The dark ages, including in our present times, from previous generations till now, is religiosity in the body of Christ. And man-made doctrines have limited God and His people. The body of Christ did not know, most of them, who they are. They were led to believe that only few people are anointed. And the body of Christ, only a handful are maturing. And there are no miracles in the charts, most of the charts, services. It is the same old program, telling jokes, making everybody feel good, but nobody matures. God's people are not taught and were not discipled to become who they are in Christ Jesus. That is, kings and priests to rule and reign with Christ here on earth. This is not just for pastor. This is not just for prophets or the five offices. This is for everyone who are born again. That God's plan and your destiny is to be kings and priests, to rule and reign with Him here on earth. Revelation 1:6 and Revelation 5:10. People of God were never told that they are made joint heirs with Christ Jesus. And there is a simple criteria how to get your blessings manifest and your inheritance. That is to mature, that you'll become matured in the things of God, in God's ways of doing things, and who you are, and obeying the Great Commission. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 29, and Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Again, Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29, and Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. All of us. Okay? And may I remind you, God does not play favorites. Okay? For all of you, verse 27, for all of you who were baptized into Christ and have clothed yourselves with Christ, there is neither Jew nor Gentiles, neither slave nor free, nor there is male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. What I am saying is that as long as an heir is underage or a child, he is no different from slave, although he owns the whole state. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. Who is our father now? Our Father God in heaven. And he requires maturity and faithfulness for you to receive your inheritance. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 14. This is why the five offices were created and were given by our Lord Jesus Christ to the body of Christ. Not for us to rule you or to lord over you, but to serve you. Okay? Not serving in cooking or cleaning your house. It's a spiritual service. Okay? It is a divine service. So, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 14. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The five offices, not just pastors. Pastors are not the head of the church, okay? Actually, if you talk about ranking, it's in Ephesians chapter 2, 19, verse 2, 20 and 21. It is the apostles and prophets of God, okay, that will build the church. So pastors are not the head, okay? All five offices were given to the church to equip the people of God for the works of service, to mature the body of Christ. This is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 14. The doctrine that everybody needs a pastor, which by the way came from pastors, and that your blessing is depending upon the pastors, and if you're leaving, and if they're not going to bless you, that you will not going to be blessed, that is a man-made doctrine, okay? It doesn't say anything of that in the Bible. Actually, the pastors receive instructions from the apostles and prophets, okay? Everybody needs to make Jesus as Lord of their lives, not any person. Pastors need to focus in maturing the body of Christ and not to look at them as an extension of you as your financial source. Many programs or teachings on how to grow the church have that motivation in heart, because the one who is going to get people saved is our obeying the Great Commission, but it is the Holy Spirit who convicts the world of their sins. Okay? We don't create programs to increase the people's financial giving. We are supposed to teach them to love God and that their tithes and offerings are giving to honor God, giving to God what is due to Him. It is supposed to finance the preaching of the gospel and making disciples. God is our source. And if we obey what Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, or ways of doing things, and all of these, meaning material things, will be given to you as well. You do not earn it. You seek the kingdom of God and His ways of doing things and disciple others. You tell others about this good news. These material things will be added to you as well. Okay. Many prophets have fallen away because of the present structure of the church. The pastors are supposed to be the head. Everyone has to have a pastor. Everyone has a covering. I said, excuse me, my covering is our Lord Jesus Christ. His banner over me is love. So prophets who operate in the gifts of prophecy, they will hold and pray prophetic meetings in smaller groups, in homes, or in conference centers, prophesy to everybody, and then take up an offering. That is how they pay their bills. They make a living. And if you do not suck up to pastors, you will not get invited. So there is always this pressure, financial pressure. If you have a family to feed, if you have a rent or a mortgage to pay, it is a pressure and it opens opportunity or become a stumbling block for these men and women of God to compromise. Let me mention this. You may not agree with me, but you research the Bible, okay? Prophets, even in the modern days, prophets in the Bible do not just give personal prophecies for every meeting. They preach the resurrection of God. They call for repentance and to turn to the Lord, okay? And they were sent to anoint leaders and kings. And they will give you revelation and predict about the future, okay? Abraham was a prophet because he received instruction from God and believed the impossible. You don't use prophets to say, okay, where will I go? What dress do I think? What do I eat? And I said, God gave you brains, okay? Because if you don't want instructions anyway, you're going to do what you please. So do not minimize the gift of prophecy. Or at the same time, be very wary of the difference between a gift of prophecy and the office of a prophet. Okay? So Abraham was a prophet. God says so. He did not prophesy to anybody. He received instruction from the Lord. Leave your father's household, and I will and go to the land that I will lead you as your inheritance. He didn't know, but he believed God. He obeyed the instruction. He believed God and he worshiped God, made a covenant with God. So therefore, God considered him a prophet. Abraham, while on his way to the promised land, not knowing what to expect, God started blessing him along the way because of his obedience, trust, and faith in God. God never changes, okay? He is the same, okay? So the good news is going to be preached all over the world in every sector of society that if you're born again, you belong to the family of God. And God does not play favorites. That's why I am telling you now, I'm addressing you, my dear brothers and sisters, no one can replace you in the heart of God. I don't care how many failures. I don't care how you were deceived. I don't care how hurting you are, okay? You may have failed. You may have failed yourself. You may have failed God, but God will never fail you. And his love will never fail. You are as important as anybody else in his heart because no one can replace you. You are a child of God. And if you have not made Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is the best opportunity to call upon him and repent of your sins and ask him to come into your heart. But you are special. And the inheritance and the promises of God that he gave me, you also have promises. You start talking to him. And I guarantee you, he will come. He will come to you. Because why? He loves you. He loves you. And as long as it is today, today will be greater and tomorrow much, much better. Just seek ye first. Seek him first and listen to me. It's in the Bible that we are joint heirs with God, not just the five offices. The five offices are going to disappear when the body of Christ is matured because that is the plan of God. The plan of God is Jesus died for all, not just for few. And Jesus did not plan that I'm going to die for this selected few, especially the pastors, because they're so important, and I'm going to prosper them. No, no. God does not play favorites. So this is what the Lord is saying to us. Put your trust in me, saith the Lord, and believe in me. Though you may fail me, I will never fail you, saith the Lord. My promise still stands, and my calling upon your life has not changed. And the knowledge of me and my ways of doing things shall continue to increase as my people respond and follow me wholeheartedly, saith the Lord. And this is what's going to happen starting in 2025. John chapter 1, verse 5, NLT. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. So for you leaders, let me address you. When you put value on how to grow your ministry, how to be established as a prophet of God, as a leader of God, and instead of teaching Jesus and his ways of doing things, you have put a value to your soul. If you devalue God's people, if you look down on them, and if you pick and choose who are important and who should be anointed and who are in the position, you have devalued your soul because Jesus died for them too. And it is not by our education, it is not by our own power, it is by the Spirit of God that is going to bring all of this come to pass. The only requirements for all of us and us leaders will be going to answer why we didn't value God's people. Why did we not look at them and treat them the way he looks at them, the way he loves them? Why we did not discipline them to mature, instead putting out programs and making them look up to you and depend on you instead of complete reliance and dependence on God? All of us will be answering to that. Because the only way to get into the kingdom of God, into the heart of God, is not knowing about him, but to have that intimate relationship with him. Those who have clean hands and a pure heart. I don't care how many programs you have. I don't care how many people follow you. But have you glorified God, or did you bring and establish your own empire? You have to really consider it now. Because many leaders have been replaced. Those nameless, faceless people are coming to the forefront, and they are equipped, and they are a part of this transfer of wealth and influence. They will not spend time in trying to promote themselves because they know who they are. They're confident on who they are in Christ Jesus. They don't need to raise funds. They don't need to ask the people for emotional giving, because they have their own resources. Times have changed because the emergence of the true bride of Christ, the emergence of the body of Christ as an influential and glorious church has now begun. Okay? We continue to increase in number, and those that are nameless, faceless people, they will disciple others. They will tell of the good news about the kingdom of God because their reliance and complete dependence is on God. So do not put value in anyone, because if you put a value, a financial value, on somebody else, that's how you put your value to your soul. It's not the other way around. I want you to consider that. That is a Judas spirit. I want you to meditate on this, because time is of the essence, and we are being called to really repent and have a clean hands and focus on what we are supposed to do. We are called to preach the gospel to all nations and make disciples, applying God's ways of doing things in every sector of society. So my dear brothers and sisters, take heart, take your position, and start calling on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit will take over, and he is going to love on you and use you, and believe for your healing. Believe that you are part of this great move of God. Amen? Remember, Jesus loves you. Sometimes we don't understand why, but his love never fails, okay? God bless you for tuning in. Until next time.
Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630. Or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's sogmi@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023.